Okay, go ahead.
Good morning, everyone. Today is Tuesday, February 27th, 2024. It's 9 a.m. We're all here for the regular meeting of the Annuity and Pension Board Employee Retirement System of the City of Milwaukee. Jan, can I have a roll call, please?
Yes, Ms. Ford?
Here.
Mr. Helling?
Here.
Ms. King?
Here.
Mr. Klusman?
Here.
Mr. Conrad?
Here.
Mr. Kovac?
Here.
Ms. Sawa?
Here.
Mr. Bell?
Here.
Quorum.
We'll jump right into the agenda for the regular meeting. Item number one, we have four nominations to go over regarding the appointment of committee for 2024. We will start with letter A, the appointments for the Administration and Operations Committee. Do I have any nominations regarding that for the A&O Committee?
Mr. Allen,
all you have to do is appoint the chairs. There's no vote on that. The committees will vote for their vice chair. I think we discussed that, but you may have forgotten. So the authority to appoint the chairs is your authority. So you just have to tell the board who you're appointing.
Got it. Thank you, Jerry.
You're welcome.
I am Ms. Sawa for the A&O committee. Ms. Sawa, is that acceptable?
Yes, it is. Thank you.
I know.
And I will continue my duties until the end of my term.
Great. And that is April?
April, yes.
Thank you. Thank you for contribution. I'll move on to item number 1B, the Investment Committee. I'd like to nominate and ask Tom Klusman to be the chairman for the IC committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'd be glad to. I had an excellent, fun year doing it, and I appreciate the confidence, and I appreciate all the help the board has done, and I really enjoyed it over this past time. And it's actually a good job because it's Eric and David make it so easy, so it's right up my alley. Thank you.
Great. Thank you, Tom. Moving on to item one, letter C, the Legislative Committee. I'd like to nominate and ask for Ms. Ford to chair that again. Ms. Ford?
Thank you. I appreciate the confidence. We didn't have a lot of work to do, but I'm happy to do it.
Actually, the work that you did last year was very important. You amended the charter, and I thank you very much for all the work you put in on that, Ms. Ford.
I look at it as a board effort, but thank you.
And then for item one, letter D, the Litigation Committee, we address this appointment as needed throughout the year, so there won't be a appointment today. I appreciate all of you for accepting this added responsibility. Jerry, do we have to then do the nominations for the...
No, it's completed now. So, for example, at the next A&O regular scheduled meeting in March, the committee will elect its vice chair. And the same for the investment committee.
Thank you.
Okay.
Awesome. And I appreciate you did explain this all to me yesterday. I apologize for missteps early on there. Thank you.
No problem, Matt. This is a little unusual. The other boards do it differently. This is just in the board rules. It's a little different.
Thank you. Moving on to item number two, the approval of minutes, letter A, annual meeting held January 23rd, 2024. Any comments or questions regarding the meeting held in the minutes from January 23rd, 2024? Not hearing any. Do I have a motion to approve the annual minutes for the meeting held January 23rd, 2024?
Aicha will move to approve the minutes.
Thank you, Aicha. Do I have a second?
Oh, Helen, I'll second.
Thank you, Tim. Any objections regarding? Not hearing any objections, motion to approve the annual minutes from January 23rd, 2024 passes. We are going to take a item out of order on the agenda. Item number four, we're going to take before number three, because some of the explanations and discussions in item four will be referenced in the Chief Investment Officer report. So David thought it'd be important to talk about four first. So we'll jump to item number four, Investment Committee report. Letter A, approval of Ruma Sales contract amendment. Go ahead, David.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think the Investment Committee Chair read the committee report, and as always, if there's questions about it after that, we can definitely talk about them. But if I think everybody was at the Investment Committee meeting too, so there's nothing new. So if you can decide if you just want to approve the committee report at the conclusion of the chair going over it, or if we need to discuss anything further after that.
Awesome. Thank you, David. Tom, go ahead with the committee report, please. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Chairman, and thank you, David. At our February 8th meeting, Callum provided a presentation on their 2024 capital market assumptions, which included slides that show that the fund's existing strategic asset allocation target is projected to generate a 7.6% return over the next 10 years. Staff also provided routine due diligence reports on Reams, Apogen, and Principal. Staff also presented the fourth quarter performance update and the annual value add analysis. As of December 31, 2023, the fund's return during the past 5 and 10 year time periods rank in the 27th percentile of Northern Trust's peer universe. One is the best, 99 being the worst, and rank in the 37th and 24th percentiles of Callan's peer universe over the past 5 and 10 years, respectively. The value add analysis estimates that the ERS has been able to add an additional $1.1 billion to the fund's value net of fees over the past 29 years by implementing the fund's stock, bond, private equity, and absolute return allocations in a way that has outperformed low-cost passive benchmarks. $428 million of that additional value is estimated to have been generated in just the past 10 years. There were three approval items by the committee. The first was a Lumis sales contract amendment that Lumis needed in order to implement all of the Lumis guideline changes for the board that the board approved in the fourth quarter of last year. The second approval item was on MFS, a guideline waiver, which will allow MFS to avoid being forced to sell some of their exposure to Microsoft. And the waiver, which was requested by MFS and only applies to their Microsoft holdings, will allow MFS to hold Microsoft up to a maximum of the index plus 5%, whereas MFS's guideline cap holding at the index was at the index plus 3%. The third and final approval item was discussed by the committee in closed session, the approval of recommendation regarding public equity investment manager. The committee then went back into open session to approve the recommendation. So in summary, the investment committee recommends approval of the following items. One, approval of the Lumis sales contract amendment. Two, approval of the MFS investment management guideline waiver. And three, approval of a recommendation regarding the public equity investment manager. That concludes my report.
Thank you, Tom. Any comments, David, regarding?
I don't have anything to add. I mean, if there's any questions, or if we just need to go over a reminder of anything we went over at the February Investment Committee, please ask me. I'm happy to talk about it again. Otherwise, I mean, I think you can just take a motion to approve the committee report if anybody's willing to proceed that way.
Yes, and just quickly, David, just want to mention on the record, so C, to go into closed session, was just a placeholder in case we wanted to discuss that, but we did have the good discussion at the IC committee, so I will, not hearing any concerns to go into closed session, I will ask for the motion to approve the investment committee report, which covers the approval for A, B, and C.
Second.
Board moves approval.
Thank you, Ms. Ford. Do I have a second?
Mullins will second.
Mullican.
Thank you, Molly. Any objections regarding the approval of the investment committee report in items A, B, and C? Not hearing any objections, that motion passes. Thank you, everyone. We will move back to item number three, the Chief Investment Officer Report. Go ahead, David.
All right, thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. Eric and Tom are actually spending the week traveling, due diligence visits, as well as a conference that was in a similar location as the due diligence visits. You're only going to hear from me today. So at the end of January, the fund ended January with a value of $5.87 billion. The fund's return was just slightly negative, rounded to negative 0.1% for the month of January, underperformed by about 9 basis points. The story, I know it might sound like a broken record sometimes, but the story for the first 7-8 weeks of this year has kind of continued from last year. I mean, an investor is really only outperforming the benchmark these days if they either are overweight stocks or they're overweight and concentrated in those U.S. large cap technology, Magnificent Seven type names. And we've talked that, you know, we have those holdings. They make up a lot of top 10 holdings in our portfolio, but we are more diversified, both in terms of our overall fund asset allocation, which is why we have a 39% target to stocks, but also in terms of being more global and small and value oriented. So you'll see that the main reason we underperformed was because having a little bit more in small cap and value stocks detracted during the month. You know what, we didn't put this on here, but real estate, we did get some real estate reports that hit during the month of January, and we're still seeing some write downs there. We're hoping we're maybe in the later innings of some of those write downs, but that impacted us in January. But again, when you look at the manager lineup, our managers are pulling their weight. I mean, our manager selection continues to add value, and you can see it again of our 11 equity mandates we highlighted this month. 8 of them outperformed, and in total that category added 17 basis points. Otherwise, there would have been more underperformance there. When you look at the table with the returns, again, we know we underperformed last year and in January this year, so you're still seeing the underperformance for the 1 year, but even with the recent kind of a headwind of how U.S. large caps are working against us, you know, you're still seeing strong outperformance, 5, 10, 15, 20-year time periods. Good absolute and outperformance. You know, if we look at the fund updates as of our estimates as of yesterday, our fund is now up about, it's up about 0.9% just month to date, which puts the year-to-date return for the fund about 0.7%. Our fund value is $5.92 billion. I know we're not supposed to. You probably saw the sheet on the Friday mailing. I'm not sure if you noticed I think it's the last page that goes out. If you include the reserve fund, we have a number in that Friday mailing report that starts with $6 billion. It's great to be back at that level. When you exclude the reserve fund, which we do at least for purposes of reporting the fund value here at board meetings, it's $5.92 billion. You know, I just like to emphasize too, I mean, again, with the time mentioned earlier, we have a 39% target to real estate. So you're seeing stocks, probably the headlines, setting new highs. Some of the benchmarks are setting new highs. You know, for a diversified portfolio like ours, part of the reason we're more diversified is because we want less volatility, right? We're trying to get whether it's the 6.8% discount rate or the 7.5% that Callan might say our portfolio can get over the next 10 years. We're trying to do that with less volatility, and we think we're probably doing that less than where our portfolio is more diversified than some of our peers now after the actions we took last year. But that sometimes when you, it means we're not going to participate as much when stocks are hitting new highs, and the reverse hopefully will be true too. Whenever stocks inevitably go down, hopefully we're going down a lot less. But things like private equity and real estate, you're not going to see marks from them move significantly on any month-to-month basis. I mean, fixed income is actually a slight negative right now because rates have gone up to start the year. So you see negative returns in months where that happens, but that only puts us in better position going forward. Our hedge funds actually had a very strong month last month. We had 1.5% return net of fees there, doubled our benchmark for just the month of January. Again, that's not as much as what stocks are doing, but these are the kind of diversifiers we have in our portfolio. And over the long time period, over the course of 12 months or longer, we think we'll be rewarded for this stuff. You just have to be patient in months where the headlines say stocks are hitting all-time new highs. Now, I think the only other things I was going to on the sheets, again, 11 out of our 15 active mandates are outperforming year-to-date. We're seeing outperformance in fixed income and absolute return and year-to-date. Our investment change, you know, it's pretty much what our return, that 0.7% year-to-date return in our, for our fund we have year-to-date is roughly offsets what we paid out in benefits expenses so far this year. We received very meaningful contributions, $211.4 million, which is really the reason we've, our fund value is still close to $6 billion right now. And our cash balance is still on the high side because while we did invest some of those $211 million in contributions, we appreciate the flexibility you gave us at the end of last year to hold on to some of that money to roll off to pay benefits. So another benefit of that is we can let that, the stocks that we have, we can let those managers kind of run with their holdings and not have to ping them for withdrawals. For what it's worth, the cash has done better than fixed income, because I mentioned that when rates go up, you lose a little bit in the short term on fixed income, but cash is, you know, it's giving us, I think we have like $1 million of interest, for example, year to date, and just our cash fund. So that's with that balance. So that fortunately only goes up. You know, I'll just say the one other thing I was planning on talking about, and then I'll pause and see if there's any questions. You know, you did approve this previous item, that closed session item about the, I guess I don't say it's, it was approval of recommendation regarding public equity investment manager. That's completed. Everything went really smoothly. We worked with Callan on kind of evaluating our plan for that, like the policy, like our statement investment policy instructs us to do. We ended up working with Northern Trust to do the transition. You know, it's the timeline. We met and exceeded the timeline. The costs were within pre-trade reasonableness estimates. We did end up taking about $25 million from the legacy manager for cash because I was kind of looking ahead. We probably would have needed some money from stock managers over the next few months anyway, so we might as well do that as part of the transition. And the remaining roughly $60 million went to Earnest, and they are now managing that portion of the portfolio. That's all of my prepared remarks, and I'm happy to take any questions.
Thank you, David. Any comments or questions regarding from board members or staff? Not hearing any, thanks again, David. And we will move on to item number 5, the Administration and Operations Committee report. Go ahead, Aicha.
Good morning. The Administration and Operations Committee had a special meeting this morning at 8:30. And we are recommending approval of, this is the engagement letter from the Legislative Audit Bureau at the state, since now with the passage of Act 12, they will be conducting the financial audit for ERS. So this engagement letter is, I mean, engagement letters are pretty standard in external financial audits or any type of audit an organization would be receiving. So most of it is good. There is on page 4, underneath the ERS responsibilities, on bullet point 5, the reasonableness of significant assumptions used in making accounting estimates. The ERS just wanted Jerry and his team, they wanted to be cautious and make sure that when we sign this or when they sign it, it is crystal clear that the assumptions or the actuarial assumptions are not part of this line. So they have created or language of 2 paragraphs that they are going to add on to this engagement letter. Jerry, did you want to? I figured I'd set it up for you if you wanted
okay,
to take
thank you. Yeah, Terry's going to put the language on the screen. I just correct, they're asking Daniel as CFO, David as Chief Investment Officer, and me as Executive Director to say that we are responsible for setting the discount, well, for setting all the assumptions. And we're saying, okay, we do set the assumptions, but not the actuarial assumptions. There are other assumptions used in making accounting estimates, and we explained to the committee that one of them, for example, would be the percent of receivables received. This is not a material item for us, but we do have some assumptions around that and a few other minor accounting details. However, the actuarial assumptions are in some ways, the heart and soul of our financial statements, because the actuarial assumptions determine the plan liability. So we wanted to clarify that the ERS staff does not set the discount rate that's reserved for the Board of Trustees by the charter and by state law. And so what we're proposing to do is on page 4, make a footnote to this bullet point number 5 and say that basically that the actuarial assumptions are reserved to the board. Just because this is in fact a sworn statement and we want to make sure it's completely accurate when we sign it. We're making representations and acknowledgments here. We're agreeing to them. So that's what that's all about. Thank you.
And the committee did the committee did approve and recommend for approval to the full board.
Excellent. Thank you, Rachel. We can move forward unless there's any comments or questions. I can take a motion to approve the terms of the audit engagement letter with the Wisconsin Legislative Audit Bureau.
I'll make the motion to approve with the modification that Mr. Allen showed on the screen.
Excellent. Thank you. Rachel, do I have a second? Thank you, Tim. Any objections to this motion? Not hearing any objections, the motion to approve terms of the audit engagement letter with the Wisconsin Legislative Audit Bureau with the changes mentioned passes. Anything else, Aisha, regarding?
No, that was it. Thank you.
Great. Thank you. Moving on to item number 5, new business. We have letter A, retirement death claims and refunds for January. Go ahead, Jerry.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. So this is our approval. We're asking for approval of the payroll this month for retirements, death claims, and refunds. There's a list, as always, in your packet of those payments that will go out at the end of the month. And if anybody has any questions or comments, we'd be happy to take them. Otherwise, a motion to approve the payroll would be in order.
Thank you, Jerry. Any comments or questions regarding?
I had a question.
Not hearing any, I'd entertain a motion to approve payroll.
No, Mr. Helling had a question.
Oh, go ahead, Jim.
Yep, Jerry, I just saw Warren Price. He is the city of Milwaukee. He's actually a firefighter. It's just a clerical error.
Which category are you looking at? Retirements, deaths, or withdrawals?
Right on that page, I believe. Yep, like the 10th one off, Warren Price.
There, from the bottom down.
Oh, this guy. Yep.
And so your question is what? You're questioning how he's categorized, his employment classification? I'm not sure.
Correct.
He should be MFD?
Correct.
Okay. We'll revise it.
Unless there's another Warren Price in the city.
Well, that's always a possibility. But we'll revise it. We'll take a careful look at merits, and if that is an incorrect categorization, we'll change it and amend it in the minutes.
Sounds good.
Thank you.
Thank you, Tim. And any other comments or questions, or move forward with a motion to approve the payroll?
Mr. Allen, I'll make that motion.
Thank you, Tim. Do I have a second?
4 seconds.
Ms. Ford, that's a second. Any objections regarding? Not hearing any, motion to approve payroll for January 2024 passes. Moving on to item 4, letter B, conference requests, February 2024 board meeting. Go ahead, Jerry.
We have one conference request from Eric Sauer, our deputy CIO. He would like to attend the Public Funds Roundtable Conference. It's April 29, May 2nd in the Beverly Hills, California, and he's got a proposed budget of $2,250 for that. It looks like a 3-4 day conference. It's sponsored by Institutional Investor, which is a trade publication. Sorry.
Thank you, Jerry. Any comments or questions? Not hearing any, I have a motion to approve the conference request for February 2024.
Klusman.
Thank you, Tom. Do I have a second?
Aicha will second.
Thank you, Aicha. Any objections? Not hearing any objections, motion for conference request February 2024 passes. Moving on to item six, letter C, annual obligation of trustees and ERS officers to submit annual statement of economic interests. Go ahead, Jerry.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Hopefully all of the trustees have received an email from the ethics board along with a link to complete the statement of economic interest form. It's for last year. It's actually due on the 28th of February. But this is sort of the last call for that. They're pretty serious about assessing penalties if it isn't in by the end of the month. So if anybody has any questions or concerns, if they're unable to access the link, or there's a hard copy here you can use that you can email it to. But if there's any difficulty, please let me know, because we want to make sure everybody is able to complete this on time as required. Thank you.
Thank you, Jerry. Any comments or questions regarding the annual obligation for economic interest? Not hearing any, we will move on to item 6, letter D and E, which both require us to go into closed session. Do I have a motion to go into closed? I'm sorry, I'll read it first. Please be advised that the Annuity and Pension Board may vote to convene in closed session on the following items, 6 item D and 6 item E, as provided in section 19.85 sub 1 sub C, for considering employment, promotion, compensation, or performance evaluation data of any public employee over which the government body has jurisdiction or exercises responsibility. The board may then vote to reconvene in open session following the closed session. Do I have a motion to go into closed?
Klusman.
Hey, Klusman. Hey, Tom.
You going to make a roll call, Jan?
Oh, who was the second on that one?
I thought it was that Mr. Helling a second?
I'll second it, yeah.
Thank you. And roll call, Ms. Ford?
Thank you, Tim.
Aye.
Mr. Helling?
Aye.
Ms. King? Ms. King?
Aye.
Mr. Klusman?
Aye.
Mr. Conrad?
Aye.
Mr. Kovak?
Aye.
Ms. Sawa?
Aye.
Mr. Bell?
Aye.
And if you say...
Time? 9:30 a.m.
Thanks, and the recorder will be paused now.
5, a.m.
Hold on one second, please.
Thank you, Chair.
All right, go ahead.
The time is 10:05 a.m. We are back in open session. Moving on to, Jerry, do I need to just explain the results from closed session?
Yes, I think it's good to get it in the record. Thank you.
Great. We are back in open session regarding item 6, letter D and letter E, both approval items. Item D, the motion passed for approval of recruiting travel and relocation expense for pension investment analyst senior. And also for item E, the motion passed to approval of initial salary for pension investment analyst senior as discussed. Any comments or questions? Yeah?
Don't we need a motion and a second for each in open?
No.
We are ready to move on to item 7, the medical reports, letter A, all duty and ordinary disability applications and reexaminations for February.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Gus Petropoulos, our deputy for disability, is going to go through those reports for everybody's benefit. Thank you.
Good morning, Mr. Bell.
Morning, Gus.
Gus Petropoulos. So the medical panel approval report is before you. There are 4 reexams. Those are routine and all approved or recommended for approval. There's on the medical council approvals report, there are 2 new applications, Francis Galloway and Thomas Ware. Mr. Galloway is for ordinary disability. Mr. Ware is for duty disability. Both are medical council recommendations for approval for them, as well as the other reexams on the list. And then on the medical council denials report, Francis Galloway is on there for an application for duty disability, and Lisa Ruttenberg is on there for an application for ordinary disability. The medical council is approving denial or recommending denial on those applications, and those are all before you for your approval of those recommendations. If you have any questions, feel free to, I'll entertain them now.
Thank you, Gus. Any comments or questions from board members or staff? Not hearing any, I will entertain a motion for approval of the medical reports for February.
Ellen will make that motion. Ellen will make that motion.
To approve the medical reports for February?
Can you hear me, Matt?
Mr. Ellen made that motion, Mr. Bell. Can you hear us?
I can hear you, Terry. I did not pick up Tim, but thank you, Tim. Do I have a second regarding?
Molly, 1 second.
Thank you, Molly. Any objections regarding? Not hearing any, the motion to approve medical reports for February passes. Moving on to item 8, unfinished business, letter A, pending legal opinions and service requests report. Go ahead, Jerry. Actually, I think we're going to have Patrick handle it.
Right.
Good morning, Patrick. Go ahead. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. With the vote earlier on the Luma sales agreement, I believe we're fairly well caught up, so I don't have any comments, but I'd certainly be happy to answer any questions anyone has.
I think not hearing any, Patrick, I think we're can move on to item 8, letter B.
I'm sorry, can, Mr. Chair, can you hear me? Perhaps I was muted, I'm sorry. I indicated earlier that with the vote on the Luma sales agreement earlier, we're fairly well caught up on the report, so I didn't have any comments, but I'd be happy to take any questions. I'm sorry, I don't know what happened with my audio earlier.
I think it might be on my end, Patrick. Comments or questions for Patrick for letter A of unfinished business? I think not hearing any. Thank you, Patrick. We will move on to item 8, letter B, pending legislation reports.
Mr. Chairman, this is Jerry. There's really nothing to report on this this month.
Thank you, Jerry. Any comments or questions from board members or staff?
Mr. Chairman, item 3, that's still required to be there. Or is that been-
Jerry, are you talking about pending legislative committee referrals? Pension contribution offset. Mm-hmm. This matter has still not been fully adjudicated. Patrick, do you have any comments about the status of this case? Without going, we can't go into closed session. It's not posted for that. But
yeah, I was actually looking at that earlier and thinking that we're getting pretty close to reaching a final resolution on that. The only reason we haven't is because technically that case is still pending. We'll make some comments later about the status of that case, but we're hoping to get this off of the legislation report and also, just off of the legislation report here pretty soon, but we're leaving it on there until we get a final judgment and disposition in that 2018 case.
And the ERS is also waiting to, you know, pay the benefits out when the stay order has been lifted by the court. And we're prepared to do that immediately as soon as it comes off. I've been wondering about it too, Rudy. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Rudy, Jerry.
I thought it had been resolved. Wait.
Any other comments or questions from board or staff? Not hearing any, thank you. We'll move on to item 8, letter C, the Executive Director's Report, Inventory of ERS Projects. Go ahead, Jerry.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'll be brief. Item number one, as always, is the personnel update, and as you can tell from our extensive discussion before, we've been working carefully with DER for not only on the investment analyst senior positions, but also there's a position for fiscal services assistant that we're working with DER on. That could be an internal promotion or an internal fill. And I won't go into any detail about the investment job because we spent a good amount of time on it this morning. Dropping down to number two on member services, we have 33 new retirees at the end of January. We're looking forward to about 27 this month in February. So this is all within the normal range, of course. On item three, fiscal or financial services rather, 1099 R forms have been mailed out as of the end of January, and outside earnings letters we intend to have mailed out by the Ides of March, the middle of next month. These are letters that go to the disability people, people who are receiving disability benefits, requesting that they submit their form 1040 to comply with the provisions of the charter regarding outside earnings. Item C, I'm happy to report our transition to U.S. Bank has gone well. The first payroll was processed at the end of January on the new arrangement with U.S. Bank, and I'm not aware of any problems with that, but if there are any, we will address them, but I haven't heard of any. Information services, Jeff Schobler has assured us in our latest weekly meeting with him yesterday that everything is going just swimmingly in IT. And so we have no difficulty to report there. The last item, administration, I'll spend just a minute or two on this. This is a little bit arcane, and it's a, this is a one-off event. It has to do with the transition under Wisconsin Act 12. This is an unusual step for us. Larry Langer, the actuary, and his colleagues at Cavanaugh McDonald are going to issue, actually they have issued a draft actuarial valuation, a second one, dated as of January 1st, 2023, for the purpose of determining the actuarially determined employer contribution for the plan year 2024. So as you're probably all aware, the board approved the first valuation as of January 1, 2023, last June. But then Act 12 was passed on June 20, I believe, or yeah, June 20. And as a result, that valuation had to be redone because the state legislature changed all of the, not all of, but many of the most important funding provisions that apply to ERS, including and especially a new discount rate no higher than the WRS. So the actuaries prepared this valuation based on a 6.8% discount rate and a 30-year amortization schedule. So, and this again was done for the purpose of determining the contribution for this year, which already has been paid largely. There's a small amount left, relatively small, it means more than lunch money for us, but in terms of materiality of the fund, it's a small amount that's due for the non-consenter fund, those people that haven't consented to the global pension settlement. It's about $171,000 and change, I believe, that's due by the end of the year. Larry will be here with his colleague, Aaron Schoen, who actually does much of the number crunching, to present this valuation to the board next month. And he'll be happy, he's gonna do a regular slide presentation and will explain, you know, how he arrived at, you know, the 2024 contribution. And that's already, as I mentioned before, in the bag. It's already been received by the trust in the first, you know, business day of January. So then as a subsequent or a follow-on event, he will come back in June and present another valuation, which will be the valuation as of January 1, 2024, and that is for the purpose of determining the contribution for 2025. And I know that Director Kovac and his staff have been very busy already working on the city's budget, or the mayor's budget, for proposal for 2025. And one of the advantages of the funding policy that the board adopted last summer is that it provides the city with much greater notice than they ever had before. Typically, the valuations didn't come in until half the year, half the plan year was already completed. And certainly, they were like, you know, 9 months after the budget process had concluded. But now, under the, you know, new arrangement since Act 12, the actuary will be providing a copy of the valuation in June before the budget process is concluded with the Common Council. So everybody will have hopefully sufficient notice in which and insufficient information on which to make an informed decision about, you know, budgetary decisions. So hopefully this all works a lot better than it ever did traditionally under the old arrangements that had been in place since, literally since 1937. So hopefully this will be a great improvement. And we'll look forward to seeing what the contributions are going to be for 2025. We already have received last summer an estimate, and it's in the same order of magnitude as the contribution for 2024, but Larry will give a presentation and go into the details of exactly how much it is going to be for 2025 when he presents in June. So that's really the transitional process for complying with Act 12 on funding. So if anybody has any questions or comments, I'll entertain them now, or you can save them for Larry when he gets here. Thank you.
Thank you, Jerry. Any comments or questions for Jerry? Right, not hearing any, we'll move on to item 8, letter D, the approval of Cavanaugh McDonald Book of Survivor Benefit Factors. Oh, that's no. Related to the email?
Well, this is just, the email in here is just informational. This is another subject that Larry will be taking up with the board. There's a new book of factors for survivorship benefits. It's voluminous. It's believe it or not, 600 pages of different factors, and those are not even all the factors that are possible. There are literally tens, if not hundreds of thousands of factors for survivor benefits depending on individual circumstances. The combinations of permutations, as I mentioned, number in the hundreds, if not hundreds of thousands potentially, they're based on each member's, the age of each member and the survivor of each age of each member, and then also the benefit that's selected. And the reason that these are so numerous is that depending if the benefits are being paid in connection with a death or a divorce, there can be lump sum amounts involved that end up providing for fractional percentages of a benefit being provided to a survivor. For example, in the event of a death where there's a remainder in the member's account, it could be, 75.624%, going to the member or to the beneficiary. And the same is true with a divorce. If the court orders a flat amount, a flat dollar amount, it could be fractional decimal places for the percentage of the benefit. So it gets all pretty complex, and we'd like the board to approve the book itself just out of an abundance of caution. The board approved the factors in concept at an earlier meeting, but now we have the actual book that is going to be used and loaded into Merits. And Merits, as I mentioned, will do all the arithmetic. It's actually non-linear arithmetic. That's why it's so complicated. In each case, when a benefit is calculated, Merits does a calculation, and we thought it would be advisable to have on the record board approval of the specific factors. The last time this was done was 5 years ago, and we always get this book at that time, and now we received it in the last, I think, week or so in final, and we just want to come back next month. That's all that's about, Matt. Sorry to, I just put it in there for informational purposes.
No worries. Thanks, Jerry. So we'll bypass the approval, sure. Obviously, until later.
Yeah.
Visit.
We want to be pretty tight on calculation of benefits. It's something we pay an excruciating amount of attention to. Thank you, sir.
Sounds good. Thanks. Thank you. And then done with item 8, moving on to item number 9. Patrick, did I catch that you wanted to discuss item A in closed session?
Yeah, I think it would be useful. I just have an informational update for the board and perhaps a quick discussion to follow, but I do think it would be useful for the board to hear an update on some litigation that we're involved in.
Great. I'll put us into closed session. Please be advised that the Annuity and Pension Board may vote to convene in closed session on the following items. Item 9, letter A, as provided in section 19.85 sub 1 sub G, Wisconsin State Statutes, to confer with legal counsel concerning strategy to be adopted by the body with respect to litigation in which it is or is likely to become involved. The board may then vote to reconvene in open session following the closed session. Do I have a motion to go into closed?
Got it, Moose. I have to go into closed session.
Hold back a second.
Thank you for the motion. Any objections? Not hearing any, we will go into closed session at 10:23 a.m. If you can turn off the recording.
Sure.
At 10:57 a.m.
Go ahead.
Thank you, Terry. We are back in open session at 10:57 a.m. We are moving on to item 9, letter B through I, and they are informational. If there are no comments or questions from members, we will put that on file. Any comments? Not hearing any, that will conclude the meeting. Today I will take a motion to adjourn.
Molly will make that motion.
Thank Thank you, Molly. Do I have a second?
Hold that second.
Thank you, Nick. Any objections? Not hearing any. The motion is adjourned at 10:58 a.m. Thank you, everybody.